My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston. He represents the Peach State's 1st Congressional District, and he is also a candidate for the Republican nomination to the U.S. Senate here in 2014. He is one of 3 U.S. House members and 8 overall Republicans hoping for the nomination to replace retiring 2-term Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Greg, it's great to be with you. I certainly appreciate your show and appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much. As we mentioned, it's a crowded field here, some of which are people you work with every day, 2 of the other candidates anyway. Why do you believe out of this busy field you're the best candidate for the state of Georgia over the next 6 years?
Well, you know, I always point out this is about the American dream and preserving it from a government that has grown too big, spending too much, and sapping away our liberties and our freedoms. I worry that our kids aren't going to have the opportunities that you and I have had. And so the battle really goes far beyond the state of Georgia. It's really about taking America back, and the battleground is the U.S. Senate. And I think in terms of my candidacy, you know, I understand what needs to be done. I've put out a 6-point plan similar to the American, or similar to the contract with America. I call it American Renewal Initiative. And I'm the only candidate who's actually put a plan out there, and I think that it makes a difference.
How does your record compare? Let's start with your record compared to the other 2 in the House, since you'll probably have the most common opportunities to consider the same issues. How does your record stack up to Congressman Brown, Congressman Gingrey, and why do you think your record stands out?
I think on some of the things we split the differences. For example, I'm 100% with National Right to Life. I'm an A-plus with the NRA. That's the highest rating of the 3 of them. But, you know, on other things, Club for Growth, Paul Brown's higher than me, but my American Conservative Union rating is 95% lifetime, and NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, is 100%. So, you know how it is now. There's maybe 50 different agencies or groups that rate you from the right to the left. But one thing that stands me apart from them is that as a member of Congress, I've reduced spending in our office over $1 million, $1.3 million, returned to the taxpayers and keeping our mailing costs, our rent costs, and our salaries down. Practicing what you preach, because I can't control everything in the federal system, but that's one budget that I do have control over. The second thing is, as chairman of the Agriculture Appropriations Committee, I cut spending. And despite the fact that I represent a rural area, I cut spending $3.6 billion and got it signed into law by President Obama. So it was not a decrease in the increase, but a real cut. Now, you know, my colleagues cannot make that claim. So, one of my colleagues talks about all his proposals to cut spending. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You know, what did you bring home? What can you claim you actually did? And I can say I cut spending and got it signed into law, and that's a big difference.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman Jack Kingston, candidate for the U.S. Senate. And, sir, you mentioned in your first response a couple of the priorities that made you want to be in this race and believe separates you a bit from your opponents in the Republican primary. Give us a few more priorities. If you win this Senate seat over the next 6 years, what are maybe the top 2, 3, 4 issues you're really going to be hammering away on?
Well, the 2 issues that I talk about the most are jobs and national defense. And the 6 ways I break that down is, number 1, strong national defense, making sure our soldiers don't have to ever fight a fair fight. We want to know the outcome of any engagement that they go into. Number 2, balancing the budget and not governing by fiscal cliff. Number 3, pushing back on these job-killing regulations. So whether it's Obamacare or Dodd-Frank or EPA, let's do cost-benefit analysis. Let's get the bureaucrats out of the system as much as possible. Number 4, energy independence. And Greg, one of the things people don't remember is that when President Obama was sworn in as president in January 2009, gas was about $1.90 a gallon. Energy independence, reducing the cost of gas would be a huge boon for our economy. Number 5, workfare over welfare. I was a strong advocate that said with food stamps, if you're able-bodied, you ought to be required to work. And then finally, number 6, is tax simplification. So whether it's fair tax or flat tax or whatever, let's have a tax code that's transparent and competitive. And so you take that 6-point plan, it really boils down to 2 things, national security and jobs.
One of the things that might become a campaign issue here in the next couple of months, depending on when House leadership potentially moves on this is the principles just outlined on immigration reform. Some believe that now is the time to act. It will certainly ingratiate you perhaps to Hispanic voters and perhaps improve the economy. Others say it's going to divide the party and perhaps weaken national security and some other things. So where do you come down on what the House leadership is doing right now, and what do you make of the timing of this in a year where some fear could split the party?
Well, here are my four principles. Number one is no amnesty. And number two is securing the border. Number three is cracking down on employers who knowingly hire illegals. And number four, no welfare for illegal workers. Now, beyond that, I think that the House leadership is going to have problems getting a bill. And just to revisit border security, you know, some people say, well, that means a big, big fence. Others will say, well, it means putting predators and more border patrol agents down there. But 40% of people come in here with papers that are legal. It's just that they let them expire. So in my opinion, securing the border also means securing the people who are coming in here and breaking the law by letting their paperwork expire and staying too long.
Let's talk about a couple of the points that your opponents have made now in trying to distinguish themselves from your candidacy. Number one, we talked about a little bit before where you said you've actually made spending cuts happen. Some of the things we've heard about from your opponents are that you're the biggest earmarker of the Georgia Republican delegation, or that they have not voted for any sort of debt ceiling increase and you have, and that sort of thing. How do you respond to those sorts of assertions?
Well, when we've been at war, I have voted to increase the debt ceiling, and usually that is in a trade-off for a spending cut or something to offset it. Number two, in terms of earmarking, I was the first author of an earmark ban, and we introduced that in 2007. I got 130 co-sponsors on it. It was the first earmark moratorium that was introduced, and that was, again, back in 2007. Certainly, earmarks got out of hand, both numerically and in substance. Most of the earmarks that I had been involved in were military. For example, one time, Fort Stewart wanted an IED simulator so that soldiers driving in Afghanistan and Iraq on Humvees would know how to react if an IED exploded under them. And I would challenge any of my opponents to denounce that as pork. And that's just one of the examples of things. You know, another project that I have worked on is the deepening of the Savannah River. There's 352,000 jobs related to the state of Georgia for that. There's a state match to it, and the cost-benefit analysis is a dollar spent, $5.50 return. You know, I would love them to come out and say that's a pork barrel project. Greg, by the way, I'll even go a little step further. The earmarks that we have been involved in were all on a subcommittee, full committee, House floor level, and I suspect my opponents voted for them.
Well,
I'm going to double-check that before I'm on your show again, but there was nothing dropped in the dark of the night, and I denounced that policy early on as well.
One other issue that popped up this month, sir, and I know you've addressed it a great deal already, and that was your comment that students who get a free lunch right now perhaps ought to pay a nickel or a dime or do some work in order to realize there's not, quote-unquote, a free lunch. Explain what you meant by that and what you make of the backlash to that comment.
Well, Greg, it shows in today's society you can't even have a decent conversation without these I gotcha moments. The context of that was, when you were 14 or 15 years old, did you have a job in which you learned something that you still apply to your life today? And if that's the case, wouldn't it be better if we had everybody at a younger age learning this great American work ethic? I don't care if you're Bill Gates' kid or my kid or your kid, chores inside and outside the household will help you. And so, you know, we went live on CNN, which is hardly a conservative network, as well as Fox, and we were very open on this discussion. But, you know, when you have groups like the Huffington Post running the public relations, you know, they're not trying to give the fair story. They're trying to give the I gotcha moment. But I feel very strongly that we should return to a good work ethic in the United States of America. And that's why I said and supported an amendment on food stamps that said if you're able-bodied and receiving food stamps, there should be a work requirement. And that, by the way, passed the floor of the House.
Last topic here, Congressman. Let's talk about electability here. That's one of the things that's going on is there's a kind of a top tier in this eight-person field at the moment. There seem to be about four or five people who seem to be the most competitive and most likely to head to a runoff, if there is, in fact, a runoff, which most suspect that there will be given a field of this size. Right now, a new poll from the left-leaning PPP suggests that pretty much you and the other two Congress members, as well as Karen Handel, are all pretty much in a tough fight with Michelle Nunn if you were to win the nomination. So when it comes to why you would be best in terms of the general election, what do you say?
Well, I've represented an area that's the least Republican. My home county voted for Obama 55%. I received 53%. What the Democrats know is that I can appeal to voters who, that they feel like they have to get to win, and they know that I'm competitive. We've raised the most money. We have the most number of donors. We have the best geographic distribution of any of the donors that are out there. My opponents, both in the House and outside of the House, no one has raised nearly the money that we have. There are a couple of self-funders in there, and I don't think you can really buy a U.S. Senate seat. I think in terms of some of the candidates who spend a tremendous amount of time attacking me, they know they've got problems within their own campaign. We placed a $1 million ad buy already. No one else is doing that. I'm running against the Democrat. I'm running against the Harry Reid machine. I'm running for the United States of America. It's not about Jack Kingston. It's not about Georgia. It's about taking America back and getting us on the right track. You know, while these Republicans are sniping at me, they're letting the Democrat get a free pass. We had a major debate Monday in front of the Georgia Municipal Association. Now, these are cities that include lots of Democrat mayors, the city of Atlanta, the city of Albany, Georgia, Macon, Columbus, all kinds of areas that are blue, purple, and a lot of them that are red. And the Democrat didn't even show up. And I'm the only one who's speaking out and said, look, what is she trying to hide? Would it not be in the interest of the voters to have the Democrat answer the questions that you just have asked me? And the questions which we Republicans get asked every single day. And so, here they are firing away at me. They need to be very worried about the free pass the Democrats are getting.
Congressman, it's always good to speak with you, sir. And we should point out that if anyone's interested in learning more about the congressman's positions and his agenda, if elected to the Senate, you can go to jackkingston.org and learn more about the campaign as well as be part of it or contribute if you wish. Sir, always good to have you with us, and we look forward to talking with you again as we get closer to Election Day.
We will do that, and thank you a million. And see if you can get the Democrat on there. That would be I'd love to know if you have any success with that at all.
We will certainly do our best. Sir, have a great weekend. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, Greg. Take care.
Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston represents his state's first congressional district, now a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.